Dear friends, please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 5. In the New Testament, the Gospel according to John chapter 15 and verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And that's our subject this morning. We are nothing without Christ. And those of you who were with us last week, you would have heard how there is no fault in Christ, nothing to find any error in Christ at all, in him, in his person, in his work, in the gospel message. There is no fault at all in any way, shape, or form. And my intention this morning really is to add to that thinking and to explain to you how, well, we are nothing without Christ. There is no fault in Christ, and we are nothing without Christ. We can do nothing without Christ. And these words that we find here in chapter 15, well, they are spoken right at the very end of the Lord's earthly ministry. This is the eve, the night before his crucifixion. You will all know that the Lord Jesus Christ, at the very end of his ministry, he died on the cross, on a Roman cross, outside the city wall of Jerusalem around 2,000 years ago. But the night before he died on the cross, well, he had the Passover meal with his disciples in the upper room, and he is spending his final moments, his final hours with his disciples, speaking to them, teaching them, telling them precious things, as we have just sung, precious words given to the disciples to, well, really to encourage them and to comfort them, because they were going to face a great trial. The Lord Jesus Christ would be taken away from them. It would be a dark time for the disciples. They would be very afraid. And yet the Lord here, well, we know, because I say this very often, the Lord comforts them. The Lord says to them, fear not, let not your heart be troubled, he says in chapter 14, the first verse. And he explains to them that even though difficult things will happen, well, there is no need to fear. And this is, of course, how we so often apply the word of God. It is so wonderful. It is that word that teaches us not to be afraid. It is the opposite of what the world teaches us. The world has a million things that it presents to us and tells us we have to worry, we have to be concerned, we have to be afraid. People want us to be scared for various reasons. But when we come to the Word of God, well, we so often see those wonderful words, fear not, let not your heart be troubled. These words are comforting to us. And this is a wonderful feature of the Word of God. But these words, just to put them in context, well, they're quite extraordinary. Without me, ye can do nothing. Now, the Lord has been speaking about the vine and the branches and so on. I'm not going to speak about that this morning. But essentially, what he is saying is that if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, we must have true union with him. And perhaps this is a challenge for believers here with us right at the very start. We often exhort unbelievers. But believers, do you have true union with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you abide with him? Do you have true fellowship with him? Do you have a true relationship with him? Do you obey the Lord? Or do you just attend church and live the rest of your life throughout the week just doing what you want? Do you abide in the Lord Jesus Christ all the time, in obedience to him, serving him, praying to him, depending upon him. That's another feature. I am the vine, ye are the branches. You must depend entirely upon me, not on yourself, not on this world to save you. Are you depending entirely upon Christ? You ought to take some time reading these words when you get home, the vine and the branches. Perhaps we will do this for a teaching service not too far in the future. But do we depend on the Lord? And that is why he then says, without me ye can do nothing. Why must somebody abide in the Lord? Why must we depend entirely in the Lord? Why must we obey him all the time? Well, this is the reason why. Because without me, you can do nothing. That's why we must abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the conclusion. Without him, we can do nothing. And this is an extraordinary statement, as I've already said. Who else could declare this? Without me, ye can do nothing. Who else in the history of the world could say this? Who else could say this now? Could the king of this nation say this? Without me, ye can do nothing. Of course he couldn't. We can do lots of things. Without the king, if there was no monarch, we could do lots of things. We could pretty much operate our lives as normal. Even without, you could argue, if there was no prime minister, well, yes, of course, there would be some loss, but there would be some things we could do, of course. Without a prime minister, without a leader, we wouldn't be totally bereft. We could manage amongst ourselves. There's no other person who can say this. I couldn't say this to you. If I was to say to you now, this morning, without me, you can do nothing, you would laugh. You would scoff at me, and rightly so. There's no other person who can say this. And you even think about people who you are close to. You know, even your husband and your wife, if they were to say that to you, you would say to me, well, excuse me, I think I can do some things without you. And you so often hear, you hear of youngsters, perhaps, orphans. They don't have parents, and yet they seem to do quite well. You hear of people who have grown up without parents. They become great athletes, or they become great doctors. They don't need parents. And so we can do without a lot of things, without a lot of other people in our lives. But the Lord Jesus Christ, without me, you can do nothing at all. Why does he say this? Well, the very simple answer, of course, is because he's not just an ordinary person like me or the king or the prime minister or whoever it is. He is divine. He is God. He is the Son of God, equal with the Father. We always say this, the Trinity, the second person of the triune Godhead, the one who came down from heaven to earth. He is God, of course he is. And so, it makes sense. Without God, of course, we can't do anything at all. We can do without anybody else, but without God, you cannot do anything. And we so often say this, God is over everything. God is sovereign. There is nothing by chance, by accident. God is ruling over all things. And so, therefore, we cannot do anything without God. The reason we are alive, the reason we are here in this church, it's because of the Lord. The reason your heart is beating, the reason that you have health, the reason that you have strength. You are not really in charge of these things. You think you are, but you're not. Anything could have happened to you. Your life could have been cut short before you even reach the age that you are. But God has been over you. God has given you all these things. You can't do anything without him. He has ordained your life. He has already determined your life. Everything that will happen to you, the day you were born. You didn't decide you would be born on the day that you were born. You didn't decide you would be born in the 20th century or the 21st century if you're a young person. You never decided that for yourself. You couldn't even be born without the Lord decreeing and determining when that would exactly take place and who your parents were and who your siblings are. That's all God who's given those people to you, those things to you. We can do nothing without the Lord, and we depend entirely upon him. And so you see, when the Lord Jesus Christ says these things, this is so very true. He is the Lord. Everything is under his power. Everything is under his control. People like to talk about fate, or they like to talk about destiny, but the Bible makes it very clear to us, it is the Lord who gives us all things, and without him, we are nothing. In him, we live and move and have our being. So, dear friends, that's the first lesson that we ought to take on board, and we ought never to forget it. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, you can do nothing without God. He is over everything. But let us just consider a little further what this means. We can do nothing without the Lord. Without me, ye can do nothing. In other words, we can put it this way. The world amounts to nothing without Christ. The world and everything in the world amounts to nothing without Christ. And this is so very obvious. Without Christ, well, let me just take this as an example and as a point of application. There are so many people living without Christ. And so many people, therefore, they cannot see the meaning of life without Christ. There's nothing there. There's a real emptiness. This is one of the reasons why so many people are down and depressed, so much mental health issues, because there is a great emptiness. There's nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. What is the point of living, ultimately, without the Lord? What is the point of going to work and working hard and then coming back and then going back to work and working hard and then coming home? What is the ultimate point of it all? There's nothing. Without the Lord, there's nothing at all. And so this is why there is such emptiness in this world. So many people are down and in despair. And even if you are successful, people will make this point, ah, but Pastor, aren't there any successful people who have lots of things and so on? Well, you know as well as I do that so many successful people, when they are successful, well, they get very depressed. They still get very depressed and in despair because they see there's no point to their success. I've mentioned this many times to you. I think this example, there was a very famous author who hit the big time. One of his novels sold millions of copies, and he was a very, very rich man. And you know what he said to an interviewer? An interviewer asked him, what do you wish you had known when you were young? And this is what he said. He said, I wish somebody had told me that when you get to the top, when you get to the top of the ladder or to the top of the mountain, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Emptiness. He didn't find what he was looking for. He didn't find that happiness, that peace, that joy through his success, through his money. There's nothing there. Without me, without Christ, you can do nothing. And so this is very true. This is what the Bible teaches us. You know the verses that speak of this. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Even if you have all the riches, all the experiences of this world, ultimately it amounts to nothing. That's what the Lord is saying. Gain the whole world, lose your own soul. Absolutely nothing to show for it. And all your possessions, of course, will one day be taken away from you. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You see all of these verses. Nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. You brought nothing into this world. You can carry nothing out. You see, we all come to the very end of our lives. We all come to the day of our death. And, well, without Christ, there's nothing you can do about that. There's nothing you can do about death. You can try and forget about it, of course, like many people do. Try and forget about death. Don't let anybody speak about death to you. Again, I was told of an elderly lady who was, well advanced in years. Her doctor was trying to gently suggest to her that she ought to make plans for when she passes away, for when she's no longer with us. And she wouldn't have any of it. I'm not going anywhere, she would say to the doctor. But when death came, of course, there was nothing she could do about it. There's nothing you can do about death without Christ. That's very clear from the scriptures. We all have to face that day, and there's nothing we can do. And well, what happens after death, dear friends? These are all very simple things I'm teaching you, but we have to remind ourselves, lest any forget or continue to reject these teachings. What happens after death? Well, we read in the letter to the Hebrews, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. After death, well, we have to stand before God. This is why we all need the Lord. Again, people will say to me, you know, I don't need God. God is for weak people. God is perhaps for poor people who haven't managed to do anything in this life, and so they need God. Just for poor, weak, foolish people. Those are the people who need God. Dear friends, everybody needs God for the reasons I've just told you, because you can't carry anything out with you when you die. We're all going to die. And then what happens after that? We all have to stand before the God who has made us. We all have to stand before him in judgment. And you know, we all know this, every single one of us. Even if you're irreligious, we all have a conscience. And this is often said amongst Christians, which is very true. Even atheists have a conscience. Your conscience, yes, it tells you what is right and what is wrong. But your conscience, it also, well, it's a prophet. You could describe the conscience as a prophet, somebody who tells you, or something that tells you, what is going to come to pass. And your conscience tells you that there is a judgment. You have to stand before God. There wouldn't be much point in your conscience telling you what is right and what is wrong if there are actually no consequences for your sin. If there's no judgment ahead of us, there wouldn't be any point having a conscience at all. What's the purpose of it if there are no consequences? Why do we bother having a conscience? But God has given each one of us a conscience because there is a great and coming day that we have to prepare for. And that is the day of judgment. And it's a prophet. It preaches within you. I've often said this. You can stop listening to me. You can never come to this church again. But your conscience is still preaching within you and warning you. One day you have to stand before God. And what are you going to do about it? Your conscience, without Christ, your conscience knows there's nothing you can do about it. You're going to stand before God, and your conscience is going to show to the Lord all the sins that you've committed, all the times you've lied, all the times you've stolen, all the things you've done in secret, all the times you've lusted, all the times you've hated people. That will be before God. There's nothing you can do about it. Without Christ, you can do nothing. What are you going to do? You can't remove your sin yourself. You can't wash away your sin. You know, there are some religions make a lot of physical washing. That's how you're right before God. You wash your body. But when you stand before God in judgment, that's not how you remove your sin. You can't take your sin away like that, washing your body. Your sins are within you. They're defiling your soul. No matter how much you wash your body, that's not going to do anything. That's going to do nothing at all. You can't hide your sin. Of course not. God can see all of your sin. We can hide our sins from one another. We can come in a church and we all look like honorable, respectable people. We can hide all our sins. You don't know what anyone's done in this past week. You can't hide them from God. So there's nothing you can do. You're going to stand before God in judgment. And so, dear friends, this is what I want to point out to you. I don't want to preach to you death and judgment, even though it sounds like it. I want to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, you can do nothing. You must have him. Because he is the one who has conquered death. We cannot do anything about death, but we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, what did he do? He came, he died on the cross, as I have already said, but he rose again. He rose from the grave, from the tomb. The tomb could not hold him. He had that great victory. Death is swallowed up in victory, we read in the New Testament. He rose victorious from the grave. And dear friends, that is a victory that we share. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, without him, you can do nothing about death. But with him, when you trust in him, the only one who has risen from the dead, you can have victory over death and over the grave. Dear friends, you must turn to him. We don't fear death. A Christian never fears death because we trust in the one who has risen victorious from the grave. There is no sting in death for us. There is no fear, and there is no fear of the judgment. Dear friends, a Christian does not fear death. A Christian does not fear the judgment, does not fear standing before God. Not because we're all good people. Christians are not good people, certainly not in the sight of God. Christians, we've all sinned. We've all sinned, past, present, and future. Sadly, this is our state. This is our case. But we don't fear standing before God because Christ has taken the punishment for us, instead of us, in our place, our substitute. This is what we can say. This is what our faith declares when we stand before God on the day of judgment. Yes, I have sinned. I have done terrible things, but Christ took the punishment for me. He died for me on the cross. So therefore, I have nothing to fear. There is no condemnation for me. Christ, because he loved me, not because he had to, because he loved me, he gave himself for me. He suffered and died. He shed his blood. And dear friends, it's only by the blood of Christ. It's only the blood of Christ that washes away your sin. You can't wash away your sin, no matter how much you wash yourself. As I've just mentioned, it's only the blood of Christ that washes your sin away, cleanses you of every guilty stain. So with him, dear friends, we have everything. We have victory over death. We are able to stand in the judgment. We have the forgiveness, the washing away of all of our sin. But without him, you can do nothing at all. None of those things are yours. Dear friends, you must turn to the Lord. Have you come to the Lord? How do I come? Says one person. And one clever person will say, well, doesn't the Bible say that you can't come to the Lord because we are spiritually dead? Well, yes, that's true. So what do we do? Well, yes, the Bible does say very clearly, and this is the great tragedy of man. This is the terrible state of fallen man. Man in and of himself can do nothing to come to the Lord because he is spiritually dead. That's what we read in the scriptures. He is spiritually dead. It is not in him to exercise faith in Christ. It is not in him to even desire the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not in him to approach the Lord. So what do we do? Is it therefore impossible? Can nobody come to the Lord? Well, of course we can. And this, again, is what the scriptures say. You must cry out to God. It sounds very simplistic. But this is what we do. You must cry out to God. Because when you cry out to God, really you are acknowledging that you can't actually do anything. If you're on the floor, if you're in the street, and you cry out, what is that communicating? You're saying, I can't do anything. I need help. I'm on the street. I'm lying. I can't even lift one finger to help myself. That's what you're doing. You're acknowledging that you can't do anything. And so this is what we say to people. Yes, you can't do anything. Yes, the Bible is right. But if you cry out to the Lord, You acknowledge you can't do anything. The Lord will hear you. He will give you faith. Faith comes from the Lord. You say to me, I don't have faith. I wish I had your faith, Pastor. I wish I had the faith of all the Christians. You ask God for it. We didn't give it to ourselves. Ask the Lord for faith. Ask the Lord. Cry out to him. Give me faith in Christ that he has died for me. Help me, O Lord, that I may repent and turn away from the world and turn to Christ, turn to salvation. And the Lord is so gracious. He is so merciful. He will hear you and he will visit you with his salvation. Dear friends, this is what it means. I hope I've communicated enough of what these wonderful words mean. For without me, ye can do nothing. Turn to the Lord, and then everything will be different. You know what the Apostle Paul said? Here, the Lord says, without me, ye can do nothing. The Apostle Paul, a saved man, said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's the contrast. Without Christ, you can do nothing. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We can do all things. And that doesn't mean that we'll all be rich all the time and prosperous and so on. What that really means, again, I haven't got time to go through it, but that simply means, you know, you can be poor in this world, very poor, and still be at peace. You can have absolutely nothing and be going through the greatest trial and still be joyous. You can be on your sick bed for months and still be fulfilled. You can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. That's really what it means, because you have the Lord. And nothing can take you away from the Lord. Nobody can take you away. Nothing that happens in this life, no sin that you commit, can ever separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, because you have faith in him. So, dear friends, these are the words I present to you. Wonderful words. Without me, ye can do nothing. So therefore, we must turn to the Lord. With him, we have everything. And we have everything forevermore. May the Lord bless these words to us.